This tradition of Buddhism isn't big on ritual, insight meditation. Most of the ritual kind of got dropped out coming from Asia. And this is one of the only ones we have. And I think of it as an invitation into community, both taking refuge and recommitting to the virtues, to the way we move in the world, in ways that are dedicated to non-harming. So, on a practical level, the refuges are taking refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And there are multiple levels of that, like I talked about last month. There's the historical or literal Buddha, the man. And then there's the level of the glimpses of awakening and awareness that happen in practice and in life. And then finally, the capacity for full awakening, the potentiality that exists, that's part of our human birthright. And in terms of Dharma, it can be the lived practice, the doctrine or the teachings, of which there are many in our tradition and others. The wisdom of the way things are, the natural unfolding. And in the practice itself, being on a path. And then, in terms of refuge and Sangha, there's refuge in the historical Sangha, the Buddha's order of people who followed him back in his time and that have handed these teachings down over now millennia, more than 2.5 millennia. There's also taking refuge in the fact that there have been and are people who are fully awakened. And then there is my favorite level of refuge, I have to say, in some ways, the community here, and by extension, the Sangha, the community of all beings, animals, plants, people, the whole deal. Everyone committed. Especially everyone committed to a life of non-harming and goodness. So there's another possibility, which is that you can relate to refuge as comfort, kind of a shelter in the storm, or joy, even. Joy in the freedom or possibility of freedom, joy in the practice itself, the path itself, or joy in community, concord. Peacefulness with each other. So, in terms of the chant that we're about to do, I want to explain the Pali just a little bit. It's Buddham Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, and Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. And the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, you can probably recognize they're in different declensions, but they're there. Saranang means refuge. Safe place. And Gacchami literally means to walk. I walk to the Buddha, I walk to the Dharma, I walk to the Sangha. So you can feel free to relate to this however you want, but we'll chant it call and response. We're not going to do the English, we'll just do the Pali, but you can see the English meaning in between the lines. And then I'll go on to talk just a little bit about the precepts. So, I'm going to start with the homage, and I will do that call and response since I know there's a few new people here today the first time, and then we can do the second two in unison. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
And now in unison, Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Bhutan saranang
Saranam
gacchami.
Gacchami.
Sangam
Gacchami.
And then you'll see these new words, dutyampi and tatyampi, which mean for the second time and the third time. Dutyampi bhutang saranang gacchami. Dutyampi sangham saranang gacchami. Since many of us already started doing it, we'll do the third verse in unison. Though tatyampi is the only thing you haven't pronounced so far. Tatyampi bhutang saranang gacchami. Tatyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatyampi sangham saranang gacchami. So now a few words about the precepts. So the precepts are ethical trainings. They're not commandments. They are kind of the guardrails that keep us in community safely together in our lives in a way that is hospitable to spiritual development and harmonious relationships, and generally to leading a happy life. And while there are five classic lay precepts, that's non-monastic precepts, really there's only one overarching one: do no harm. And all of the others, whether you take five or eight or hundreds, as the Theravada monastics do, fall under that in one way or another. A life of non-harming, of mindfulness. There are some very refined ones in the monastic traditions that are more about the mindfulness, but again, it feeds back into this living a life where the fundamental question is, and this is a quote from the Buddha, will this lead to greater benefit or harm for me, for another, or for both, or for all? So that's the simple compass of the precepts. Another way of formulating it, which I ran across at Wat Tam Yai in Asia, where I practiced twice, this was in Thailand, is don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. That doesn't mean being a doormat. It doesn't mean being a pushover. It means keeping the welfare for self and others prominent, predominant, top of mind. So, sila, the Pali word for virtue, also means comportment, how we move through the world, the ripples we make, the wake we leave behind us. And that awareness of impact in our own relationships and our own minds and hearts is a powerful compass, a powerful way of beginning to orient in a way that feeds and nourishes mindfulness practice, spiritual development, and awakening. Chirin Salzberg tells this story that an Asian teacher came here in the early days of the Insight Meditation movement and made the comment when seeing people practicing in all kinds of different ways, maybe secular ways too, that practice without ethical development is like very furiously rowing a boat without untying it from the dock. So it's not about the special states. It's not about the role you have. It's not about how you look to your friends. It's about that. Letting yourself move through the world without tying yourself to the dock or leaving a mess behind you. So the precepts are not killing, not stealing, not engaging in sexual misconduct, abstaining from false, malicious, or harsh speech, especially divisive speech, actually, between people. And then not taking intoxicants in ways that cause you more likely to break the other four precepts. That is a support. The not becoming intoxicated is a support for all of the rest, not to mention a big support for meditation. So we will read these in unison in English. And they're in the bottom half of the page that many of you have. Do those of you online, do you need a screen share? No, you got it. For the sake of our training together, I undertake the precept to refrain from taking life. For the sake of our training together, I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given. For the sake of our training together, I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct. For the sake of our training together, I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating. For the sake of our training together, I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating body and mind. Precepts, ethics are a source of strength, of happiness, of goodwill, and they are a source of development in the path to practice. May all beings benefit from our time here together. May all beings benefit from our virtuous conduct in the world. I think we have a couple of Sangha announcements. So, well, Maria, you might have had an announcement or two, is that right? About...
Sure.
Okay. I thought you said you were going to speak to the to volunteering, but maybe you weren't.
I can definitely do that.
Okay.
Yeah, luckily, it seems like we are, the volunteer positions are filling up so nicely. I'm really excited.
Yeah,
so, the two big, first of all, my name is Maria and I'm the volunteer coordinator. Thank you so much, Sean, that was wonderful. We're filling up a lot of our volunteer slots, but the two things that we could definitely use if you're interested would be somebody to be on our generosity team. We're trying to put together a team rather than one person who's in charge of generosity and fundraising. And we're hoping to put a team together. So if you're interested in that, please let me know. And the other thing is that we can always use more greeters, like what I was doing, that open up the center, close the center, help the person who's doing the sit, and the very general instructions that are easy to follow, and we have a handout for you. So it's very easy, and you can either decide to link it to an event that you normally go to, or you can just be on our list and we'll ask you if someone can't make it someday. So thank you so much, and thank you so much, Dawn. And as always, generosity is very important for our center, and we have generosity Donna baskets in the back. And thank you, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Maria.
Oh, the potluck.
Yes, I guess
Do you wanna?
I'll just say it since I just turned the mic off. So we are, starting this month is the first month that we're having a community tea and potluck after this sit. So I don't think everyone really caught on to that yet, but we do have tea and we might have a little bit of food people brought along. So you're warmly welcome to join us. If we could get a few volunteers to set up tables right out, like maybe one table is enough right outside the center. That will happen at 10:45. Can I get a show of hands of people who are willing to help bring the table out? One, two, three, four, okay, five, thank you. And meanwhile, since we have a couple of minutes, the invitation is to turn to someone, preferably someone you don't know, or at least don't know well, and welcome them here, greet them here. And I'll ring a bell in about 5 minutes. So thank you, friends on Zoom, for joining us. It's very good to see you. Be well.